Now, that's something to contemplate again. When you're driving down the road and you have nothing to think about, think on that, all right? I'll guarantee you do that, you won't have any problem with lusting. You won't have any problem being angry. Okay, that'll help you out. Okay, the children of God being the children of the resurrection. Now, let's just read the next few verses because this is a parable which absolutely just destroys the Jews. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, he said that because that's what the Jews always said. We be what? Abraham's seed. Okay. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. And, of course, that left them speechless. Nothing left to say. All right, let's continue on here concerning the children of God. Let's go to 1 John 3 and verse 10. 1 John 3 and verse 10. And there's something that distinguishes the children of God in the flesh while we're still walking in this flesh, as distinguished from the children of the devil who are walking in the flesh. And that is, the one who is committing sin, practicing living sin, is a child of the devil, though they're still walking in the flesh. The one who is practicing righteousness, not practicing sin, is of God. Now, verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. Okay, so the children of God are manifest by how they keep the commandments of God. Now let's look at a couple of other things that this attests to here. Let's go to John 12 and verse 34. We are called children of light. And this gets right back to the basic thing of walking in the light, walking toward the light. Okay, they're children of darkness, right? Didn't Jesus say that if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Okay, John 12 and verse 34. And the people answered him after he said that he was going to die. We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. Now, here we get all these technical questions again, see? If you die, how is it that you live? Okay, we'll answer that in John 11 when we get to it. How do you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. And who is the light of the world? Jesus said what? I am the light of the world. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. And he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. You know how that is. If you get someplace where it's totally dark and you can't see anything, you don't know where you're going. While you have light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. So not only are we called the children of God, we are called the children of light. Why? Why are we called the children of light? Because we have the Word of God, which is light. We have the Christ and His Spirit in us, which is light. We are the children of light. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, let's get it back here, there we go, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Then it goes on saying here, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, and then it shows the things we need to do to grow and change and overcome, etc. All right, now, Ephesians Let's go to the first chapter. Shows how this light comes into us through God's Spirit. And that's a tremendous and fantastic thing to understand, brother, and it really is. I mean, when we can begin to contemplate the fantastic calling of God and the greatness that God has that He's going to give and share with us, that just ought to thrill us to life. I won't say to death, thrill us to death. Let it thrill us to life. Okay? Ephesians, the first chapter. And let's pick it up here in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, let's remember Psalm 104 and verse 2, that God clothes Himself with light, glorious, magnificent being, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, so we are the children of light. That's how it's done. Now chapter 5 and verse 8. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Where he's talking to the people here in Ephesus. For you were sometimes, that is, past times, darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay, the children of light. Now let's just go to one more scripture. 1 John 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3 and verse 1. And I hope this will help us understand the tremendous significance of what Christ has done and the tremendous love that God has for us and the fantastic opportunity that God is giving to us. And remember, He said that He gives us eternal life and no one can take us out of God's hand. No one. And just tie in Romans 8th chapter. Nothing can take us from God. All right? Here. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And how many times have we read this scripture in the past? I don't know about you, but I think pretty much every one of you either have this mark or the page is dog-eared or it's underlined and colored over with different colors and different things that you have here for the emphasis of it. But, you know, I still don't think we can fully grasp the magnitude of what it's telling us here. That we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So that's a tremendous thing, being the sons of God, the children of God, the children of light. Now let's go back to John 10. Now let's go back to John 10. John 10. Let's just read this again here with verse 34. And Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If He called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say you of Him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme, because I said, I am the Son of God." Now, you cannot get any clearer in telling someone who you are. Can you? You can't be any clearer than that. You know, if someone comes up to you and says, "Well, who are you?" You say, "Well, I'm so-and-so." "Well, what proof do you have it?" So you whip out your driver's license and then, you know, your Social Security card, and then roll out all the plastic that you have that has your name on it, and they can punch a little machine. Okay, we verify that's who you are. Christ told them plainly, "I am the Son of God." Instead of saying, "What a magnificent and wonderful thing this has got to be." They were angry, ready to murder Him. Now, verse 37. "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works. And remember, just a short time before that, he what? Healed a man who was born blind. He said, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. Now, I just can't imagine what sort of thing was going on. Were they trying to grab him? Were they trying to surround him? Was someone grabbing an arm, another grabbing a leg, another one ready to tackle his feet, or what? But he escaped them out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan to the place where John at first baptized, and there he remained. And many resorted to him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spoke of this man were true, and many believed on him there. That is, while he was at that location. Well, even though this is a little short, I think what I'll do is end it there, and then we'll save this little extra bit of tape so that we can maybe use it for something else at some time. Okay? Any questions or comments? Let's just expand this just a little bit more about the children of light and the children of darkness. And, you know, can there be Christians who are somewhat in between? They have the light, but they're sort of standing in the shadow of a dark image, and they need to come around it, and because they're kind of standing in the shadow, they can't really see the light. Now, if you understand what I mean, if you're standing in front of a big building, and on the other side of the building is the sun, but you stand in front of this building, and you look directly at the same angle where you know the sun is, you can't see the sun, can you? But you can look to the right and left of you, and you can see the light of the sun. But you're standing in the darkness of the shadow. Now, we go back to Revelation, the third chapter, and we're talking about the Laodiceans. And I think we can draw an analogy there. They are the church of God with a lot of problems, wherever the Laodiceans may be. And it can be an organization, and it can be an attitude. Okay? But notice what he says. He says here, verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. In other words, they are in the light, but they are not walking to the light, and they have some obstruction keeping them from continually walking in the light as children of light. So they're still of God, but they got an awful lot of problems. Okay? You're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, I am about to spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods. Now that could be, look at what a great work I'm doing for God. Look at how many of this we have, how many of that we have, how much of this, how long, and so forth. Okay? Or just strictly from a point of view of wealth, look how much money we have. You know, has there ever been a church of God who's had so much money, etc., etc.? You can apply all these things to it, see? And increase with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind. They can't see where they're going. Okay. And naked. And that's what that kind of thing would do. So if they are blind, let's look at it from two point of view. If a leadership of a church is blind, then they're going to preach things which should not be preached and do things which should not be preached. And if a congregation is blind, they will accept these things as they come because they themselves do not see the problems involved. So it works both ways. So you're exactly right. Yes, it works both ways. But I know how it is where people have thought, boy, you know, if I leave, God wants us to be held together in love, not fear. God wants us to rejoice in eternal life, not be in fear of death. Well, I think, yeah.
There's never been a
no, the reason, you're always going to have a certain amount of the, you know, that kind of thing that's going to come whenever people get together and they view things from a human perspective instead of God's perspective, then they're going to get themselves in trouble sooner or later. Sooner or later. Now that we've been away from it for a long time, well, we can spot it like a dog sniffing out a bone, you know, real quick. But if you have this situation, now he tells them to repent and go through the fiery trial, but you get back here to John, the third chapter. Let's go back here to John, the third chapter, and about walking in the light and coming to the light and so forth. This tells us the real remedy and the real repentance. Okay. Verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And everyone that practices evil hates the light and neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does or practices truth comes to the light. Now that ETH, cometh, means he is coming to. So where Christians get themselves in trouble is where they quit coming to the light, who is Christ, and quit walking in the way that they need to in the light. Then they come up to an obstacle and stand in that shadow, and they don't grow any further, do they? Because they're not walking to the light. And then the whole group and organization can get in trouble. So we have a rare opportunity here that God has granted us what we're doing. And frankly, I'm very excited about it. Because I think, you know, I think that we are. And I don't particularly care whether we have any great numbers of people join us or not. It'd be nice to have more people with us. But I don't know whether I am prepared at this point mentally for the hassle. If you understand what I mean? Okay. So, but on the other hand, we don't want to come to the point and say, well, we have this and we wrap it up in a little bundle and stuff it away either, see. You can't have that. So I feel that, and this is just my own personal feeling, I feel that with many things, we are right on the verge of being blessed with more understanding and knowledge and love of God and things like this, not because we've done anything great, because, you see, the greatest thing we have done is drive. We get here. God has done the rest. God has protected us all the way up here. And I'll have to say, you know, I'm not going to challenge God or threaten God, but thank God, I appreciate the blessing. I've not received one speeding ticket in all the time I've been driving up here and back, okay? Now, I'm going to drive very carefully going home after saying that, you know. But this kind of situation and this kind of peace of mind and knowing that you are growing. You know, there are times when you've wondered in the past, am I growing? And it's really exciting when you know that you are growing. Knowing that you are growing is very exciting. And we need to grow in the love of God, because any growth that we accomplish, if it is not based first on the love of God, it's going to be a phony growth. And it's going to be a man-made thing. And it isn't going to result in what God wants. So from that point of view, I'd just as soon keep the status quo as it is. But from the other point of view, that we can't take what God has given us and wrap it up in a bundle and stuff it away in a can and bury it. I know that God is going to give growth to us in the time that He wants, because we will, and we have got to preach the hope that is there. That's the whole thing. And I know that it's tough to get the mind reoriented to preaching hope from preaching condemnation. And if you've watched the latest program, you will see that it's based on condemnation. This one doesn't do it right, that one doesn't do it. what I see that needs to be done is preach exactly what Christ has said, condemn sin. That needs to be condemned, absolutely. But unless that has a tremendous measure of hope, and preaching why Christ came and all the factors of it, then we just have so much exercise and so much knowledge, which may be good, which may not be good. But anyway, we've had a good Sabbath today, shared a lot of thoughts and everything like that. Appreciate you thinking on some of these other things. And maybe for those of you on the tape, I'll have to say that sorry you got left out of about a 45-minute discussion on the powers of electromagnetism and so forth, but if and when I see you, I'll fill you in on that.